If you have your Bibles, we're in the Gospel of John, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, let's pray. Father, as we turn to your word now, I ask that your Spirit would speak, that you would touch us, that you would take the words of this text and apply it to our lives individually, that we would hear what you have to say to us. Lord, we pray that Jesus would be lifted up, that we would see him for who he is, and our lives would be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a passage that is familiar to a lot of people, talking about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Yet, as I looked at this passage over the last several weeks, I have realized there's a lot more to this passage than meets the eye. There are things in this passage I have never, ever seen before. And so I'm going to be sharing some of the things that I saw a long time ago and some of the things that I have seen very recently. And I'm praying that God would really, really touch us with the idea that Jesus is the Good Shepherd and all that that means. Okay? So we're going to be in John chapter 10, but I want you to notice something as we start. John 10 is an artificial name. By that I mean when John wrote his gospel, he didn't include chapters and verses. They were put in the Bible for us to be able to find things so that I wouldn't be up here saying, well, we're going to be in John, find that part about the shepherd, and you'd all be looking through your Bible trying to find it. It's a matter of convenience. But I want you to look at John 10 and notice that it immediately follows John 9. Now, that's not an exciting thing, but there's no break in the action between chapter 9 and chapter 10. In chapter 9, Jesus has healed a blind man, and he's had this confrontation with the Pharisees. And starting with verse 35... I'm sorry, verse 39. Jesus said, chapter 9, verse 39, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Now some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, our guilt remains." Jesus is dealing with this confrontation with the Pharisees, and now he's launching right in to this idea of being the Good Shepherd. "Now that you say we see, your guilt remains. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus gives this illustration of being of there being a shepherd and the gatekeeper opening to the shepherd, and the one who enters through the gate is the real shepherd. They couldn't figure out what he was talking about. And you know what? I can't say we're real sure either. Okay? And the reason I say that is because as you read what people have written or said about this over the years, there's a lot of different interpretations of what Jesus meant right here. Now, he's going to go on to clarify what he meant, but let me tell you how this has commonly been seen. There's a good shepherd, there's the shepherd of the sheep, and he must go in through the gate. And so one of the things that some people have said is that Jesus is talking about what I will call unauthorized priests. This was a common teaching in the church, basically saying, if you don't belong, if you're not one of our priests, you're a thief. You're a robber. Okay? So you have in the history of the church for centuries, you had the church that was the Roman Catholic Church, and if you weren't one of the Catholic priests, you were an unauthorized priest, you were a thief or a robber. And of course the Catholic Church split into East and West, and then they were calling each other unauthorized priests. And then we had the Protestant Reformation come along, and we got all sorts of unauthorized priests out there. You even had Protestants looking at this passage and saying the Catholics are the unauthorized priests. So every group has seemed to want to jump on this passage and say, if you're not one of us, you're unauthorized. You're a thief. You're a robber. Everyone should look out for you. Okay? Now, is that what Jesus was talking about in this passage? I don't think so. I don't think Jesus was saying this to warn people centuries later about somebody from another denomination preaching. I just don't see that in the text. Instead, what Jesus is doing here is something different. He is saying something about himself. Not about priests or ministers or pastors. He's saying something particularly about himself. There is a gate and a gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper will only let one person through that gate. Only let one person through the door. The shepherd. And Jesus is claiming he is uniquely that shepherd. I think today maybe he would use a different image. There is a secure military facility, and only one person gets to go through the door, and that person has to have the right fingerprint. They have to know the password. They have to have the right eyes to look into the iris scanner and be identified as being the right person to go through the door. Jesus is saying there is a shepherd who the gatekeeper recognizes. And it's Jesus. Other ones have come before claiming to be the Messiah, the Savior. Other ones have come before claiming to be the one to shepherd the sheep. But Jesus says, I alone have the characteristics. I alone have the qualities to be the good shepherd. I am the real shepherd. His characteristics had been prophesied for centuries before his arrival. His birthplace, where he would grow up, the things that he would do, the way he would die, all of that had been prophesied centuries before. And now he's on the scene saying, I am the one that the gatekeeper will let in. I had those unique characteristics. They couldn't figure out what he was talking about. So he goes on and he uses two more images that are very important about who he is. He says in verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now he's shifted the image before. Before there was a sheep pen with a gatekeeper and he's the shepherd. Now he's saying he is the door. He is the door. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is claiming that he is the one through which people must go to receive eternal life. Jesus is claiming that he is uniquely the door. Well, you go to the bookstore and you'll see lots of books claiming to be the way to have an abundant life. Jesus says, no, 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 no. The only way to the abundant life is through me. I am the door. Those who go through me receive abundant life. They go in and out through the door. What does that mean? They go out to find pasture. They go out to be fed. They come back in for security. They come back in for safety. Rebecca read from Matthew chapter 6, talking about why are you worried? Why are you worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink? God's interested in you. God's going to provide for you. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. I shall not be in want. Because he's our shepherd. He cares for us. And that is because he is the door. He is the way that we go in and out and find pasture and find safety. He is the source of that. Not only that, Jesus says that he will call and lead his sheep. I call them, and they follow me. I call them one by one, and they follow me. They hear the sound of my voice, and they follow me. How many of you ever seen a shepherd do this? Is anybody here? A few people? Bunch of flocks together, shepherds start calling and the flocks separate. The sheep hears the sound of the shepherd. And it's really fun when the shepherd says, here, you try. And so you try. Nothing happens. But the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. And so part of what Jesus is saying is, look, I am the shepherd, and the sheep hear my voice. I am the door. They come in and out of me and find pasture. We have this relationship where I'm caring for the sheep. I know them by name. They know me by name. He goes on in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is saying something about his relationship with the sheep. He's willing to die for them. He cares that much about the sheep that he's willing to die. The big difference between the shepherd and the one who's just hired to watch the sheep. You ever notice this in stores? You can tell the difference sometimes between the owner of the store and someone who's just hired to work in the store. The person who's hired to work in the store, I don't really care about the business. They're just there, you know, kind of doing their job. But the owner of the store, he cares. Everything that happens in that store is very important to him. He doesn't want to lose customers. He doesn't want people to have a bad time when they're in his store. But the hired person, as long as the boss doesn't get mad at me, I don't really care what happens. Jesus is saying there are people who are looking over sheep, but they don't really care for the sheep. The moment there's risk for them, they run away. When the wolf comes, when something dangerous comes, they run. But the shepherd, the one who owns the sheep, the good shepherd, does everything he can to protect the sheep to the point of laying down his life. And here we see Jesus talking about exactly what he is going to do. He is going to lay down his life for the sheep. Why would Jesus do that? Why would Jesus do that? Because the sheep were in danger. And he's willing to do anything to protect the sheep. The gospel message is that you and I, because of our sin, are in great danger. We are in danger of hell. We are in danger of eternity away from God. But the good shepherd laid down his life on our behalf so that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal, abundant life. He's the one who lays down his life for the sheep. But not only that, did you catch what he says here? He says, in verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus says, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. I'm going to sacrifice my life for my sheep. Okay? Pretty brave, pretty courageous. But then he says, I'm going to take it up again. Hello? Who can do that? Who can do that? You know, there are stories of great heroism that you hear coming out of wars sometimes, you know. You hear about the grenade that gets thrown into the midst of a group of people and somebody throws their body on top of the grenade to save everybody else. They sacrifice themselves for their friends. And Jesus says, I'm going to lay down my life. Then I'm going to take it up again. I'm going to jump on the grenade, die, and then reappear. Who can do that? Jesus said he has the power to do that. Why? Because Jesus is not merely man. Jesus is God come in the flesh. Jesus here is claiming to be God. Oh, the Pharisees. Oh, the Jews who were struggling with this claim of Jesus. Remember in John chapter 8, he claimed that before Abraham was, he existed, that he was the eternal one. Then in John chapter 9, he's healing blind people. Now here in John chapter 10, he's saying he's going to die and take his life back up again. Jesus, the eternal one. Jesus, the great shepherd. Jesus, the one who cares and lays down his life for the sheep and raises himself back to life again. This is the great shepherd. This is who Jesus is. And then he says something startling in verse 16. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus says, there are other sheep that aren't of this flock. What is he talking about? Jesus is ministering almost exclusively to Jewish people. And he's calling them. And many of them are following him. And now he is saying, I have some other sheep that aren't of this fold, that aren't Jewish. And I'm going to call them. And we're all going to be one flock together, one shepherd for the entire flock. Jesus is not saying here that everybody, regardless of their religion, is part of the flock. Jesus is saying there are people who are not Jewish who are going to hear my voice and follow me. And I will be their shepherd. I am the door, the only way to abundant life. And I'm going to call people from many nations, many languages, out of many religions. And they are going to follow me. And there's going to be one flock and one people together. Okay? What is Jesus up to right now? He is up to doing this very thing. Right now, the Good Shepherd is calling people from many different nations to be part of his one flock. And the characteristic of the people who are in that flock is they have heard his call and gone through the door. And they are following him. How do they hear the call? They hear the call through the voice of other followers who explain the gospel to them. And in hearing the gospel, they hear the sound of Jesus' voice and they respond and they follow. You with me? So here's what I want us to see. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He is unique. There's no one else like him. He is the only door. There is no other door to the abundant life. He is the only door. You won't find it anywhere else. Just in him. And he is calling people from many nations. And he's doing that through people like us sharing the gospel. And they hear the gospel and they respond and they follow. They become followers of Jesus. You with me? We have a responsibility to sound his voice, to stand there and proclaim the gospel message so that people will respond. And they will. And they will. From every nation, every people, every language. And we will be one flock for all eternity. This is what Jesus is up to on the earth today. He is the unique shepherd calling people from every nation of the world to be part of his great flock. And my challenge for us is to join him in what he's doing. Okay? Let's pray. Father, Father, I pray right now against the lie that there are many doors. We live in a culture that wants to say everybody's in, but you have made it clear that you are the only door, the only way. So I come against that lie now in your name. And I ask that you would break that lie in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would reveal more and more your uniqueness. That you're not like any other teacher. You're not like any other self-help author. You are uniquely the Son of God. Uniquely the Good Shepherd. Uniquely the one who laid down his life for the sheep. Uniquely the one who was raised from the dead. You are unique. Lord, I pray. That each of us would respond to the call of your voice, that we would know your voice and we would respond and follow you. And Lord, I pray that you would use us to share the gospel with people, not just from our own nationality, our own fold, but with people from other nations. Because you have said that one day there will be one grand flock made up of people from every nation who have heard the gospel and responded. Lord, use us. Use us. And I pray that we might be, as a church, an example of one flock from many nations for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.